Allison Anderson Harter, the showcase brought to you today by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, Lyon County's leading mortgage lender.
This happened just the other day.
I'll be ready to go to lunch in just a minute. I'm on hold with my bank. We can go as soon as I get done.
If I need anything, I just text my credit union. It's so easy and it saves me time.
Wow. That'd be a lot better than being on hold forever.
I love my credit union, Emporia State Federal Credit Union. By the time she finished with the bank, we only had 30 minutes for lunch. Texting, easy, convenient, and only at Emporia State Federal Credit Union.
Welcome once again to the Emporia Showcase with USD 253 Superintendent Dr. Allison Anderson Harter. And Allison, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great, Ron. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks so much for joining us. Always great to have you on monthly with the Emporia Showcase. We've got a good program slated for today, a lot to get to, and I know we like to kick things off with some Emporia proud moments. And what is on the list this month, Allison?
Well, and as usual, we have a great list. This week in particular is homecoming. So students at Emporia High School are celebrating, and they are participating in a number of homecoming activities, starting with a bonfire last night. And I would like to congratulate our homecoming candidates and wish the best of luck to our sports teams as they participate in the homecoming games. The National Education Association Foundation announced last week that Erica Huggard, who is a high school science teacher and also our ENEA president, was one of 45 public school educators from across the country who is receiving the prestigious California Casualty Awards for teaching excellence. She and her fellow nominees will be honored at the NEA Foundation Salute to Excellence in Education Gala in Washington, D.C. on February 11, 2022. And these awards for teaching excellence are nominated for the dedication to profession, community engagement, professional development, attention diversity, and advocacy for fellow educators. So really proud of Erica Huggard and are wishing her the best. Andy Battenfield, who is a physical education teacher from Village Elementary, was recognized last week as the Emporia Master Teacher and the district's nominee for the 2022 Kansas Master Teacher. So we are so excited for him. Andy is in the process of completing the application process and will have the goal of being selected as Kansas Master Teacher. Andy does a great job with our students, and so really hoping that he is able to be selected as that. Delaney Taylor, who is a special education teacher from Emporia Middle School, and Mackenzie Dakin, who is a fifth grade teacher from Riverside Elementary, have been nominated from the district for the Kansas Horizon Award Program. For teachers to be eligible for this award, nominees are to have successfully completed their first year of teaching and demonstrated exceptional skills as a teacher. We are so excited about the accomplishments and the recognition that the teachers have attained and really want to thank them for their dedication to our students and to our schools. And then finally, this year we are excited to partner with Ron, you, and Chuck for the annual KBOE Drive for Food. Several of our schools are collecting non-perishable food items, and we are proud of the generosity of our community and look forward to the success of this event and hoping that we have a large number of items for your team to pick up on October the 14th.
We are excited to have you and USD 253 involved once again with our Pack the Pantry effort coming up October 14th. So thanks. The Emporia Public Schools, their families always do a wonderful job, and we can't thank them enough. So I know this kind of wasn't on our list, but Allison, construction seems to be going well. School district?
It is. Oh, are you going to ask me for percentages?
No, I am not. I was not going to go there.
I went, oh, no. But I can find those. I can find those in a heartbeat.
I know, but this was just in general. I mean, just overall, how are things looking?
We are. Things are looking. Jones Early Childhood Development Center is really coming along. In fact, the Maynard staff are going over for some tours just for the, so they can get an idea. The classroom sizes are going to be amazing, and so we are really excited. We're actually getting ready to start getting closer to Logan Avenue and Emporia Middle School, so getting really close to Walnut, Emporia High School wrapping up, and then we'll have some construction that happens during some school breaks, and then we'll start again in the summer to finish that up. But just a lot, we just, We're not going to have the open houses for those, for the construction projects, until we are 100% complete. But people will be so excited when they see all the improvements that are being made across the district. It's very exciting.
It is very exciting. Certainly some massive progress there, and positive progress on the construction front, USD 253. Well, today's topic is, they're always important ones, but this is really... really come into the forefront since the pandemic began over a year ago. We want to talk today about how USD 253 schools are supporting students' social emotional well-being at each of our academic levels here, and we want to share some things that are being done in USD 253 to support students during this pandemic, activities in the ways of maybe clubs and sports, crosswinds, classroom lessons being taught, and more. So we'd like to bring in our guests this morning. Troy Chapman is an Emporia High School counselor. Troy, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Ron?
Doing good. How are you today?
Doing well.
Good to have you here. Christy Dragonis is an Emporia Middle School 8th grade counselor. Christy, good morning.
Good morning, Ron.
How are you today?
I'm doing great, thanks.
We also have with us Natalie Waters, William Allen White Student Support Specialist. Natalie, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good. Thank you for having us this morning.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on with us. And Deidre is a Maynard Early Childhood Center school psychologist. Deidre, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Well, thanks for taking some time to join us, all of you. And Troy, let's start with you. Let's talk about activities in Emporia High School. What have you seen specifically pandemic-wise? I mean, this has been a very trying time, especially, you know, at the high school when they were kind of in school, out of school. You've had to make some adjustments. Overall, what have you seen with students at Emporia High School?
Well, it's been interesting getting back in the swing of things, and, you know, students being out of here for about last year and a half. So, yeah, we're all just kind of learning again and just really encouraging students to get involved in clubs and activities and athletics. And it seems to be that we are getting back into the swing of things. And you know, last night we had a really good turnout at the homecoming bonfire, and there was some food being served. Had lots of students there, and we had a lot of activities going on after school, athletic-wise, and had good turnouts for those as well. So, yeah, we just we're off to a good start.
Troy, from your perspective here, what were some of the, I guess, short-term or maybe even some of the long-term things that you saw amongst the student body last year as COVID progressed? Things that, you know, as simple as body language, were there, you know, a spring in the step here at the start of the semester, and then things kind of started dragging here as the semesters and trimesters continued?
Well, I think just from speaking with students and seeing them every morning, and of course all school day, that I think everybody's happy to be back. That's what I'm seeing.
Well, have you seen, Troy, you know, students saying that they had difficulty, especially when, you know, last year they would spend a little time in school, then have to go back to the virtual learning process, and talking to some of the kids. You know, they had difficulty virtually. They just didn't like it, I guess, what it came down to. But what have you seen overall as far as kids being able to, you know, cope with that?
Yeah, Ron, that was a struggle not just for students but for staff and for parents. And so, yeah, I mean, last year seeing students here in the building and then gone, it was tough for everybody academically, social, emotionally. We're just trying to move on.
Did you wind up seeing, I guess, maybe additional issues in school as the
oh, yeah.
Really, or,
oh, yeah.
What were some of the, I guess, maybe more common things that you saw?
Yeah, just, you know, students were missing their friends. They were missing not being here at school with their teachers. So, we had some extra support that we needed to give, and you know, we've got plenty of support here at Emporia High School for our students and staff, starting with, and I'm just going to go ahead and share a little bit of what we've got going on here. But we have a crosswinds therapist here in our building. We've got a student support coordinator through crosswinds who also helps in the process of with students and identifying them and getting them the help and support that they need. Also, our school psych, Susan Severn. We've got community and school staff here in Emporia High School, as well as four counselors. We've got JAG, we've got AVID, we've got Spartan Explorers, which is an after-school tutoring program. You know, we have staff that stay after school and provide tutoring. We've got a lot of SEL lessons embedded during our cap time each day. So there's a lot of support that we have here for our students.
All right. Well, appreciate it, Troy. Good job on that. Let's bring in Christy Dragonis. Christy's with Emporia Middle School. She's an eighth grade counselor. Christy, good morning again.
Good morning.
So what have you seen at Emporia Middle School here since the school year began? I mean, I think it's been a general consensus that everyone was very pleased and happy to be face-to-face and learning together once again. Is that what you have seen?
Yes, I think that's accurate. Students were craving that social interaction with their peers, but I think also, more importantly, that relationship with their teachers. They really struggled with that during that virtual learning time. Even though teachers were going above and beyond to make those connections, when you're not face-to-face and in that classroom setting, those relationships are really hard to build. And so just seeing that come together this year has been amazing.
Christy, when you talk about, I guess, maybe the atmosphere from this year to last, how big of a difference are we talking about?
Oh, huge. I would say even last year, I had so many students that would come in on their particular day, and the anxiety level was so high that sometimes they weren't even able to complete their day because you have to be reminded that they were in a virtual setting for a very, very long time. And so, to be honest, that was probably one of my biggest concerns with us coming back. I knew we would have a lot of students being excited, but I was really fearful of those that had that anxiety. And I have to tell you, the way that they came in and the way that they adjusted has just been amazing. Yes, there's still some of those students that are struggling with the anxiety, but because of all the added support and the adults that are here to support them, I think that they're being very successful this year.
Well, let's talk about some of the support that's offered at Emporia Middle School. What do you do, Christy? I know every child is different, but those that are still struggling with anxiety, what kind of plan can you put together for them?
You know, it kind of varies. We are offering a second step SEL program, similar to the cap time at the high school, except we call it academic advisory. And we've chunked that to where teachers are able to give lessons and give supports with students, and it can be anything from anxiety to goal setting, things like that. And what I really like about that program is it spirals from sixth grade to seventh to eighth, and so it really kind of piggybacks each year off of what they've already learned. So I think that in itself has proved really, really helpful. The other thing is our teachers are really, really in tune to our students. They are checking in with them, and they do a really good job of letting the counselors know, you know, hey, this student, I've noticed this, and then that's where we kind of come in and have several different options. Either we meet with them and kind of identify that anxiety. It could also be what we kind of call as a wraparound meeting with the family if we feel that that's necessary. We also have an SEL classroom that can be provided to the student that allows them to maybe have more of a time to kind of de-escalate or get regulated before they go to class, and that way they can deal with that anxiety a little bit better. So we have several of those supports in place.
The other question I had is how did the social-emotional process that was already in place before the pandemic, I guess, maybe help you as teachers and staff to meet the needs ongoing? Because clearly you're able to tap into what you had here. This may be at levels that you had never seen before, but you at least had the foundation in place the way it sounds.
Yeah, and I think teachers, when we were in the middle of being virtual, did a really good job of offering some very beginning-type class activities as a check-in. And it was a really quick way to get a gauge on where our students were. And then they were really able to either diagnose that themselves and work with that, or they were able to get in contact with us so that we could get involved in that virtual setting. But I really praise our teachers because they have a really good handle on where our students are and what our students need.
Yeah, I think Troy touched on this. Not only, obviously, we're looking at students and how they've been able to cope and progress through this, but it was very tough on the teachers and staff as well through this pandemic, and obviously we're not through it yet, but thanks for all that you're doing. Christy, thank you. We appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you, Ron.
Natalie Waters, William Allen White Student Support Specialist. Natalie, good morning again.
Yes, good morning.
Good to have you here. So what have we seen in our elementary schools here so far this year? I guess they were in face-to-face learning last year, but what has been different, if anything, this year as we move into 2021?
Yeah, so we did still have a few students that were remote at the end of last year, and so that's been really exciting to have all of our students back face-to-face. But I would agree, just an overall excitement, just to all be in the building together, kids seeing friends that they haven't seen and teachers that they haven't seen. So that's been really good.
As a student support specialist, what are the roles that you have under normal circumstances? And did your role expand any, or did you just simply see more traffic last year?
I would say things just changed a little bit. We had to be flexible, having students both remote and face-to-face, trying to be a little more in tune with families, just having extra stressors and things that were going on for them. And then just with different mitigation things, we had to adjust things a little bit. But for the most part, we still offered the same services in the elementary schools.
So what have you been seeing last year and this year? And I think you bring up a good point there, Natalie, as far as mitigation, you know, kids having to wear masks and social distancing, that's a whole new world that they're living in there. What kind of difficulties, you know, were you seeing for the most part from kids in elementary school?
You know, elementary school kids are really resilient. So I think for the most part, they've done really well. But last year, they really were only able to see the students in their class, so that was different, not being able to interact with other grade levels and even same grade level classes. And so that was different, and I think a little hard on kids. This year, we're able to make a few adjustments to make that a little better for them. But overall, I think the little ones, they're really resilient.
Obviously bringing a smile to your face every day. What are some of those different, I guess, maybe small-scale adjustments that may have long-term implications here for those kids?
You know, last year we were not able, as counselors, to mix groups. And like Christy shared, a lot of the elementary schools also have an SEL classroom, and we couldn't just have kids from all over school coming in and out. We have a lot of kids who rely on that, and so that was a little challenging. This year, we've been able to open that up a little more. But there's a lot of kids that they weren't able to interact with, and I think in the future, we're going to see implications of that.
Well, you're doing wonderful work. We appreciate that, Natalie, and we appreciate your time here this morning on the Emporia Showcase.
Thank you.
Deidre Dieter. Deidre is the Maynard Early Childhood Center school psychologist. Deidre, good morning to you again.
Good morning.
Nice to have you along. Well, what have we been seeing? What are the challenges, main challenges you have experienced here, you know, with the students early childhood-wise here over the past year?
You know, I'll echo what everyone else has kind of said, is that our students have done an amazing job of adapting and being resilient to the different changes. Just really jumping in and kind of going with the flow and you know, maneuvering through all of that. I think for us, the main thing, you know, having some students remotely and then having students on site, just working with our teachers and our families and our parents and really just making sure we're providing the support to the parents, especially those that are working on that remote. Preschool students and remote can be a little bit of a challenge, and so it just really helps us to form those relationships with our parents, you know, establish that communication to make sure that we were supporting our students that weren't with us, and making sure those resources were available, but also just making sure for our students in the building that we were, you know, providing those opportunities and just trying to make sure we were supporting their social-emotional needs as well.
How did you see, I guess, maybe the social-emotional needs play out over the past year, and have you seen similar levels of that social-emotional need that needs to be addressed here so far this year, or have those changes from last year to this really started to ease things up a little bit? I mean,
you know, like I said, our students really did a fantastic job of, you know, navigating and working through everything. They came in with smiles on their faces and were excited and ready to learn. There were definitely, you know, some challenges working, like I said, with the remote. But ultimately, I think our students really did a good job of just coming in ready to learn. You know, obviously, we couldn't mix groups, kind of like Natalie talked about. We couldn't mix groups, and with our social-emotional groups that we have at Maynard, that was a challenge. And then, of course, you know, they had built relationships before with other students and other classes. And so just helping them to realize that they couldn't, you know, see them or play on the playground with them or just navigating that was a little bit of a challenge. But they did an amazing job through all of it.
I would assume, Deidre, you spend a lot of time with the parents, being you work with early childhood students. How do they handle and focus through all of this, too? Because obviously they're playing a big role, especially remotely with young kids.
Our families have done an amazing job of navigating, you know, all of the changes themselves or the things that they were going through, getting their students on with our remote learning and making sure that they were there to have their classes and their exposure. For some of them, that was several meetings and things. And so they've just done a great job of making sure their students were there and could participate, even if that was remotely. I think that just as a whole and as a building, our teachers have established really good relationships with our parents. And our parents have done a fantastic job of advocating and just sharing what their students' needs are and just really working with our staff to make sure we're meeting those. And so I think we've really seen some strengthening in that communication with our families and just working together for our students.
Along those lines, but kind of dovetailing off of that, Deidre, how important is it to have essentially a whole staff approach as opposed to maybe a more siloed approach here when it comes to social-emotional needs, especially with what's been taking place with the pandemic over the last 18 months?
I think that is absolutely huge. I think it really takes all hands on deck. Sometimes, especially, you know, when we have to be ready for change at any moment. And so I think just the way that we as a staff, and I'm sure everybody could speak to that, the way that we've just all come together and really just spent the time communicating and processing and brainstorming, it's definitely been a whole team approach just to be able to continue supporting our students and working through these changes and adapting as we need to.
Well, Deidre, thank you so much for all you do, and thanks for your time here this morning. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Harder, well, a group of fine educators and counselors with us here this morning talking about the hard work and important work that they're doing here, USD 253. Let me ask you, before we wrap things up, mitigation-wise, are you happy with the plans that are in place, and how do you think the plan is being executed?
Well, I believe that the plan is being executed with fidelity. I know that our principals, we are just so happy, principals, teachers, classified, bus drivers, food service, everybody is so excited to have students back in the buildings. We're doing everything we can to make sure they stay there. We had our advisory committee meeting late yesterday, and as one committee member said, the mitigation strategies are working. And so we just want to keep moving forward with it and hoping that we can loosen up as we go and as our numbers continue to drop. We've been excited to see that our positives are lessening as the weeks go further. Of course, we're getting into flu season. And so hopefully those numbers will continue to come down, though. But they are working.
You certainly have had some quarantine issues, though, I mean, to deal with. Obviously, you were going to, getting kids back in class, correct?
Right, right. And we had applied for the KDHE grant that gave us that opportunity for Test to Learn. So we have been able to have students be in modified quarantine. And then when the health department, along with Dr. O, as the county health officer, approved those mitigation strategies of having that contact tracing going from 6 feet to 3 feet, that made a huge difference because we were able to have more students come back into schools.
All right. Allison, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Hey, and I have those percentages if you're curious. In a quick rundown, we have 95% at Walnut completed. The high school is 52%, and the Jones ECDC is 71%. Those percentages are accurate as of September the 1st. So I just want to give you a quick update on that.
Well, and I appreciate you coming through in the clutch again, Dr. Harder. We appreciate it very much. Let's thank our guest, Troy Chapman, Emporia High School counselor. Thanks, Troy.
Yep, thanks for having us, Ron.
Yeah, Christy Dragonis at Emporia Middle School, an 8th grade counselor. Christy, thank you.
Thank you.
Natalie Waters at William Allen White. Natalie, thanks.
Thank you. It was great to be here.
Yeah, thank you very much indeed, Deidre Dieter, Maynard Elementary Childhood Center psychologist. Deidre, thank you.
Yes, thank you for having us.
All right, Dr. Harder, we'll talk to you next month.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
That is the Emporia Showcase for this month with USD 253 Superintendent Dr. Allison Anderson Harder and some very special guests here this morning. And the Showcase is brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, Lyon County's leading mortgage lender, ESFCU, the educated choice. Good morning. It's 8:51.
President Biden is getting ready to address the UN General Assembly. ABC's Cecilia Vega is there.
He is coming here today for this huge speech on this global stage, facing a lot of skepticism from some of our biggest allies. Really at the center of this, that chaotic withdrawal.